This is about something else. This is about a group of people actually believing that if they humble themselves and pray, God will hear from heaven and heal their desperately dying land. And when God begins to speak to us and give us a vision, I believe that if we are obedient to the heavenly vision, nothing can stop us from accomplishing God's will on the earth. No devil in hell, no government, no anything.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the Living Hope Podcast, an outreach of Living Hope Church located at 352 Charles Hoke Road, Whitney, Pennsylvania. Please stay tuned to the end to hear a closing message from Pastor Doug. Now, let's join Pastor Doug as he shares from the Word of God.
Just tell me about this person you felt led to pray for in line at the store. Because we're sharing on evangelism today, and I don't think people know what evangelism is.
So a couple weeks ago in the Dollar General in
my favorite store,
Latrobe, there was a young gentleman in front of me, and I could just tell he was in a bad way, and just some things he had said, some things he was, you know, talking about. And I just stood behind him, and I didn't, you know, I just prayed over him. And I said, you know, please just, you know, come, you know, I would love for him to come to the Hope Center. I would, you know, just love for him to get in the Word with us. And so the next week, actually, he came in to CR. And I was just like, hey, you know, I saw you at Dollar General. And he said, yeah, you know, I've been looking for a place to go. I got a lot of things going on in my life I need help with. And so he came that week. And the following, this week, he actually came and brought two friends with him. So there was three newcomers.
Awesome. Thank you.
Sales. Do you know what ABP is? Are you familiar with that term? Always be prospecting. Salesmen are always prospecting. Soul winners are always prospecting. They're always looking. They're listening for the nudge of the Holy Spirit to say, hey, that guy right there, be bold. I've had some of my most amazing encounters with God happened when I was just obedient to God to reach out to somebody in a moment evangelistically, and God opened some amazing doors. Well, let's just, by way of review, we've been in the fivefold ministry. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I just ask you to anoint the dust man. God, we were dirty until you blew breath into us, and without your spirit, we're dirty people. So God, breathe on me today. God, give me something eternal and lasting to share with your people. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about fivefold ministry. We realize that's a Christianese term. It's not something that's necessarily defined in circles, just a common name. Some people think there's four, some people think there's five. But basically, it's the gifts. Fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Talked about the apostolic being the opposing thumb, gives the ability to grip. It's an oversight. What we're talking about is church government. God's not a God of chaos. He's a God of order and government. We also talked about the necessity of all these gifts to equip us for the work of the ministry. Let's just review real quick. We'll look at, if I remember to put that scripture in my message, we'll look at Philippians 4. I don't see it in there, but basically he said these gifts are given for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So Jesus commanded us what? To make disciples, right? And so when are you a disciple of Jesus? When you are involved in the disciple-making process. To come to church to get saved is not a scriptural thing. There is no Jesus as Savior without Jesus as Lord. Jesus saves us. One of the first things he does, evidence of a conversion in your heart, is that you have a hunger for the Bible. It's hard to hunger the Bible, especially if you grew up reading a King James Bible. You knewest not what if you were reading it half the time. And so when I got saved, though, I just asked God. I said, let me read this and let it make sense to me. You know, and he touched my brain, and King James seemed normal to me for many years. And I read that translation of the Bible for many years. I take shots at the King James from time to time just because people think it was authorized by Jesus instead of King James. But the first evidence of my conversion, the first evidence that Paula had gotten saved, and I prayed with her in her bedroom, was the next morning, the night before she was reading Stephen King, the next morning she was reading the Bible. That's supernatural. Not the Stephen King part, the Bible part. So there's a hunger. And the second thing that you get is a hunger for souls. When you're newly born again, you want everyone to know about Jesus because he's the most amazing thing that ever happened to you. How many know that can cool off with time? But it shouldn't. We should be asking God to keep that hunger stirred in us. So we talked about the importance of fivefold ministry and church government. We talked about the fact that there's a gifting, and then there's also an office you can operate, and we're all called to operate in all the ministry gifts. We're just not all called to occupy those offices. God never, you know, God, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist were never supposed to be the top spire of the church. They were supposed to be the ugly scaffolding that erected itself around every builder. I was talking with Sam Balashander. Tim and I and Sam had breakfast. He has the mentoring, equipping young leaders. He's taking the next generation of leaders. He's got transgenerational vision. That's what we all need. And so we were meeting, and I was trying to explain to him our model when we planted churches in Russia. I said, we didn't come over there, the great white hope, we're going to do this and that. We were the ugly scaffolding that came around the Russian church in their time of need following the fall of communism, where we began to build up believers, raise up leaders, and train up pastors. In 2 to 3 years, we were out of there, took the scaffolding down, and let the Russian church be the Russian church. That was 25 churches in 2 years. Now there's 90-something churches, as far as I know, there. It's all run by the Russians. They have their own apostolic government. They have their own presbyteries. They have their own national organization, and they're doing well. That should be the role of the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the prophet in your life. It should be in the apostle. They're there to help you find out what it is God's called you to do and to equip you to do it and to release you into your ministry. Until you have a desire to know what God's will is for your life, you're not going to value fivefold ministry much, because what's the point? Church is going to be an optional Sunday activity unless you actually believe that we're going to stand before God one day and give an account for what we did with our life. And as a church, what God has called us to, we are adopting, we're not pointing our finger at the problems in Westmoreland County. We're saying it's our responsibility to fix them. I am. I'm saying, God, we take responsibility for the absence of light in our county and in our nation. Darkness exists at the permission of light. Darkness is not a power unto itself. It's what you get when you deny light. Well, we decided we're going to be salt and light. We're going to speak the truth in love. We're going to reach out to people hurting. We're going to have a rehab program. We're going to do these things, not so we can say how good we are, but because we're taking responsibility. And here's my motto for 2019. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. There's no gray. You gather, you scatter. So fivefold ministry is important to us. Why? Because we want to be equipped to make our lives echo through eternity. Amen? Starting to sound like Gladiator, but death is not the end. Death is the beginning. This life here is 70 years at most, 80, 90. But then you're going to enter into eternity. If the length of this room represented eternity, about this head of a pin would be the life you live in that timeline. So what are you investing all your life in, the temporary thing or the real thing? I want the real thing. How about you? So God gave us the gift of evangelism to empower believers to preach the gospel and to co-mission with the Holy Spirit in making converts. We don't make converts, to be clear. The conversion process is supernatural. To be born again is not to be born again of the evangelist. It's to be born again of the Spirit, but through the evangelist. God does what he does in the earth through men and women. I want to talk to him about that. I know a lot of men and women. Didn't seem like that good a plan to me. But nonetheless, this is what God's decided to do. Like Churchill said, democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the other forms of government we tried. Or the best argument against democracy is a 10-minute conversation with the average voter. Sometimes it just doesn't seem good to put things in the hands of men, but this is what God has chosen to do, to use the foolish to confound the wise. And so we must preach. How will they know if no one preaches? And how will they preach if no one was sent? How will they know what to preach if there's no teachers and pastors? How will they be sent if there's no apostles, apostolos, to be sent or to send? How will the gospel take place? How will we complete the Great Commission? How will the Great Commission become the Great Commission unless we embrace fivefold church government and unless we all participate in the process of evangelism? We are all called to do that. 2 Timothy 4:5 says, I'm in the LT, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given to you. Now, he's speaking to Timothy, who obviously is a guy who's operating the office of fivefold ministry, but the principle of here appears to all of us. He tells us all, be ready, in season or out, to give a testimony, right, of what God has done in our life. But you need to be intentional. You understand, if you're not intentional, life is going to happen to you. Man, life happens to me right now. My furnace is being replaced. That's life happening to you. Life happens. But I've made a decision, no matter whether life is happening to me or not, I'm going to happen to life. I'm going to be intentional every morning about asking God. You know, Paula Marks came over to me. She was talking to me. She said, she was just sharing a little revelation she got during worship. You know, what if we, each one of us, every day, ask Jesus, what do you have for me today? Because we get up with this list of things we have to do, and we have to do lists. We have to be responsible for things. But what if we were asking God, today I want an encounter. Today, we all committed that we were going to reach one couple for the Lord, one family, one person to invite to church and bring to church this year. Have we done it? We have a little bit. But how, if we're not intentional about the preaching of the gospel, if we're not intentional about sharing Jesus, then it's not going to happen. Life is going to happen to us. Amen? And you know, the eternal soul is much more important than a lot of the foolishness that eats up our time. Would you not agree? Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and so that you can have charismatic meetings and stomp and frop around and do Jericho runs and thump tangerines and wave flags and then get Rolex watches. No, wait, it doesn't say that. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. In Jerusalem, the places you like to go. In Judea, the places you're not too crazy about. In Samaria, the places you would normally never go. Paul and I spent a lot of time in places most people would never go, because God told us to go there. It wasn't like we were big heroes. We just wanted to obey God. And to the uttermost parts of the earth. But that command is to all of us. Not all of us are called to go plant a church in Lower Pango Pango somewhere. But we are all called to preach the gospel. Look at the person next to you and say, do the work of an evangelist. And then tell them, I will. 2 Corinthians 5:18, 20 says, And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us a task of reconciling people to him. We have a ministry of reconciliation. You and I, we all do. We all do. God has made each one of us responsible for the task of reconciling lost people to their Father. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. What did God do through Christ? He reconciled the world to himself. Now, how's he going to reconcile the people in the world to Christ and to himself? Through his body. Christ was the second Adam. You understand, God created Adam for what purpose? His good pleasure, for fellowship, right? Okay, so then the second Adam, same purpose, better plan, for lack of a better word. I'll put my spirit in you. I'll write my laws upon your heart. This is why we've been emphasizing the importance of seeking God's face, spending time, quiet time with Jesus, hearing the voice of the Master, letting the Holy Spirit speak to you and educate you. When this thing's working the way it on all eight cylinders, when you come in Sunday morning, half of what I preach should be a confirmation to you. God's already been speaking this to you in your heart. And so you're going, wow, cool. It's a confirmation. That's how one way the pastor that God uses pastoral pulpit ministry, one is to educate and to evangelize, but another one is a confirmation for those people who really are, really do have a pastor. Everyone goes to church, but not everyone has a pastor. They have a guy they call pastor. I'd almost rather you didn't call me pastor if you don't listen to anything else I say. Does that sound hard? I don't mean it that way. Pastor, but these all these giftings that God gives to the body are relationships that are proportional to one another. That is, the pastors are accountable to you to the extent that you're accountable to the pastoral authority. If you ask me a pastoral counsel and I give you answers to that counsel, then you go out and do your own thing. I'm not accountable to you for what happens as a result of that. Just like if I give you counsel and you do it and it blows up, I'm accountable for that. Our accountability is directly proportional to our relationship and how we see that authority and how we relate to authority. And by the way, when you meet authority, then you can recognize authority. You can recognize counterfeit authority and real authority. When you have a loving father, you can discern someone who operates in the father's heart and someone who doesn't. Our goal here is to impart, impute, and to empower, right, for the purpose of accomplishing a heaven-sent vision. What we don't want is to manipulate people and exploit people to get a man-made vision. I want to build this building. I want to have this name. I want this ministry. And I'm going to squeeze the sheep as hard as I can, fleece them as close as I can, and milk them as often as I can to get what I want. That's not what we want. There's been too much of that abuse in the body of Christ. This is about something else. This is about a group of people actually believing that if they humble themselves and pray, God will hear from heaven and heal their desperately dying land. And when God begins to speak to us and give us a vision, I believe that if we are obedient to the heavenly vision, nothing can stop us from accomplishing God's will in the earth. No devil in hell, no government, no anything. So, hey, let's do this thing, shall we? Let's just do it. The message, and God gave us this wonderful message. I'm sorry, I'm bouncing back into 2 Corinthians 5 for those of you who weren't buckled in. No longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. There is a God in heaven who has made a way that your sins will no longer be counted against you. And we have that message. How else will they know? If you really love somebody, listen, if you found... I just feel like this. I feel like if somebody found a good deal on bacon, which somebody did find a good deal on bacon, I got a text. Hey, look at this good deal I got on bacon. My point being, when there's something exciting, you want to share it with people you care about. It's a great opportunity. I'm always listening for jobs. I know my people. I'm praying for people here that are asking God for other jobs, that are asking God for other opportunities. I'm always listening and praying. I pass things on to Rico. We shoot out emails sometimes about opportunities for jobs or make extra money, different opportunities. So how much more could we not share this great opportunity with the people around us to have compassion? But you have to be intentional. You have to ask God, give me that compassion. In verse 20, it says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's all of us. Our primary function, you know, one day the Bible says we're going to stand before the great white throne of judgment. It's not the judgment for our sin that was settled on the cross, but it's where we give an account to God for what we did with our lives. And everything that was done in man-made intention is like wood, hay, and stubble. There's going to be a big bonfire. But everything that was of God is going to be eternal and last. And we have crowns that we will lay at Christ's feet. And those crowns we earn in this earth are not for a nail in the stock market. They're not for anything else but souls. You will lay souls, crowns, at the feet of Jesus. This is my eternal reward. But we have to be purposeful. We have to be intentional about being soul winners. It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't feel, it's awkward. I worked field service, biomedical, and I'd be at a payphone. This tells you how old I am. No beeper. Well, the beepers, they have these big beepers, but I'm on the payphone going for call, and I would see somebody, and instantly I would sense the Holy Spirit was telling me to go talk to him. And I was so busy. I had three calls lined, and I was, oh, come on, God, really? Can't this one just go to hell? I'm really busy today. God always said no. And so I'd go talk to these people and share Jesus with them. And somehow I always had enough time to get all my work done. I would come into work, and I worked on one piece of equipment that would run 144 specimens of blood at a time. And it took almost 40 minutes to do the test just to see if it was working. And then you had to fix it and do the test again. I would usually have it fixed before the test was finished, then finish it off. And at first they thought I was like a flake. But then when I would come in, they would say, oh, that's the guy. Oh, we're good. We're going to be up quick. And it wasn't because I was that smart. It was because God was helping me. And they would ask me, how do you do it so fast? I said, you really don't want me to tell you. Yeah, tell us. I pray. Okay, don't tell us. Yeah. But it was a witness. It was a testimony. God made a way. But we have to be intentional. Matthew 5, 14, 16, Jesus speaking here, if you're a red word only Bible person, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. We're going to do an evangelistic outreach into the patch and over into Hochstetter, I think, as well. I'll be meeting with Kevin McFeeters this week to talk about that. Kids are going to make some packages and gifts again. We're going to go door to door, drop some off over at Cowboys, which is the other bar in town, and then we'll drop them off at the primary bar, which is the Fire Hall. We'll drop some off over there as well. We're just going to reach out, just love on people and let them know that we care. And see if there's anything we can do. We're going to be working with the parish, too long in Louisiana. We're going to be working with the county, with our the Unity Township folks, put together some volunteers to help clear the stream, to try to help fix the problem of flooding in the Whitney Patch. If you're not part of the solution, what are you? Part of the problem. So we're going to try to be part of the solution there. And by the way, that's a form of evangelism. That's lifestyle evangelism, passive evangelism, just by doing what it is that you do. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. We're not living for what we used to live for, but because of what Christ has done, we now have a higher purpose in living. 1 Peter 5:2-9 says, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. This building is a wonderful building. Thank God for this building. Thank God for the people that keep it clean and operational. But this is just a place where we gather to be the church out there. So we're the living stones that are assembled, and God's Spirit is in each one of us. And it says, through the mediation of Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. God's spiritual sacrifices are when you take time out of your day to help someone else. When you see something around you and you become his hands and feet. I promise you, his thumbs aren't doing this and his feet aren't propped up somewhere. He's out about the Father's business, and we need to be that way too. As the scriptures say, I'm placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. It's Jesus, of course. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him. For those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they do not meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Yeah, I'm not made for judgment. Hell was not made for God's children. Hell was made for Satan and his angels. Will there be some of God's children in there? Yes, sadly, because they chose to follow Satan, passively or actively. There is a hell. There is a heaven. There is a hell to miss. But if you're worried about missing hell, I don't think you've met the Lord yet. Because when you meet the Lord, he is so amazing that he outshines. Hell's not your consideration anymore. I'm grateful I'm not going there, but I'm not excited because I'm not going to hell. I'm not excited because I can cast out devils or speak in tongues or interpret scripture. I'm excited because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that my Father in heaven has granted me unlimited access to sit in his lap, to cry on his shoulder, to hear him speak from his mouth to my ear. I've been given this great honor through what Christ did for me. And so I can't walk around and see somebody in trouble and say, well, I can't help them because I don't make enough money. Because the only thing I have to offer is money because I'm an American. No, I say, I've got the power that raised Christ from the dead within me. Together, I think me and the Holy Ghost can come up with something. Don't you? Come on, let's praise him. He's good. Now, I went ahead. I don't do this too often. I'm not too big on professional consultants working with churches. I just don't think it's necessary. If you have the Holy Spirit, you have apostolic government, you have other men that you can speak to, you know. But in this case, I'm thinking of making an exception. I've talked to the student ministries ministry about hiring their consultant to come in here and do some personal training for us.
Here at the National Institute for Student Ministries, we've discovered a new method of evangelism that is shaking the very foundation of our thinking. It may appear unorthodox, but frankly, we're shocked with the results. We're amazed at this revolutionary idea, especially designed to boost student evangelism.
Why did I want to be the evangelism linebacker? Well, let me put it to you like this.
Yeah, baby! Next time I'm gonna hit you so hard you're going to flight, NASA's gonna think I didn't launch a satellite!
You see, as a fish was created to swim in water, as a bird was created to fly, I was created to knock people out who don't evangelize.
The evangelism linebacker deals directly with a variety of students' fears associated with sharing their faith.
All right, it's all you. This house has got your name on it.
I'm not ready yet.
What makes you think I'm ready, though?
Fear of rejection, for example.
Let me talk to you about fear. Fourth and one, Jerry Rice, what you gonna do? That don't compare to fourth and one in eternity.
It doesn't matter who rejects us because we're always accepted by Christ.
God loves you. Get off the flow and go door to door.
Can we talk to you for a minute?
I'm a lover, not a fighter, baby.
He loves you, but it might hurt.
Sometimes I'll blow you up, but it's because I love you.
Yeah, but just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I need to be out sharing my faith. I mean,
Don't you run from me! You can't escape my grasp! D-Gray will throw you in the trash!
Thanks to the evangelism linebacker, campus evangelism nationwide is up 87%.
I'll never do it again.
Hey, I can't go to the outreach today. I just got some more important things I gotta do. Uh-huh. Hey, man, give me a break. I went to church on Sunday. I gotta go.
Selfishness? The world needs a message. For God to love the world, it wants to communicate it through you. If you procrastinate, you will open up the gate to a beatdown. Give me that phone, boy.
When I see selfishness, it is my job to blow them up. That's what I do. I blow them up so that they can get their eyes off of self and look at Christ, the prize.
What's up, baby girl? Nah, I'm busy.
We're intrigued, as the linebacker is particularly effective in infiltrating centers of cultural and intellectual exchange.
Here you go. Here's your double cappuccino latte mocha with a twist. Not too hot, not too cold. Perfect for you.
Anyway, man, did you hear that talk from that guy the other night?
Oh, I know. Like, we're supposed to be sharing our faith in, like, coffee shop.
Whoa! Whoa! Shut up in the coffee shop, baby! You next!
It's unlikely that the recent decline in coffee sales has anything to do with our program.
Pride comes before the fall. That's Old Testament. Old Testament, you know this.
Thanks for the coffee, Darren.
Hey, you're welcome. Have a nice day. Your mama raised you better than this, boy. Don't let me blow you up no more.
You see, I think it's fitting because when people have pride, that they're too prideful to share their faith, what I do is I knocks the pride out of them. What I would like to communicate to my brothers and sisters is this. When you least expect, around the corner, perhaps even under your bed, I can be in a phone wire. I can be everywhere. And just know that I'm always watching, ready to lay the boom on you, baby. Booyah!
Ouch. Are you ready for game day?
Boom, baby. That's my job. Blow it up. I like that. That's to ease the pain of what I'm going to say now. No, I'm just kidding. That would have ruined the whole effect. We got to be intentional. 1 Peter 3:15, instead you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. When's the last time somebody asked you about your faith? And don't blame it on the culture. When's the last time somebody said, what is it about you that's different from everybody else? Let's think about the evangelism linebacker again for a minute. Oh, blow it up. Now we feel better. Okay. When's the last time somebody asked you, if our church disappeared tomorrow, how would we affect the community except for less traffic on Charles Hawk Road? Would there be an obvious change in the community if we left? Are we, you know, one reason that Christianity is in decline in this post-truth generation is that Christians are always called to offer a contrast to the world system. We were called to, by our lifestyles, by the way we handle money, by the way we treat our wives and children, by the way we take care of our property, by the way that we offer grace and forgiveness, we should stand out, not because we have giant coffee table Bibles and neon day glow crosses and tracts, and when people ask us how we're doing, I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, good to know. Something about us should be different, and it should be someone within us that makes us different. When you spend time with Jesus, people around you will know you've been in his presence. Remember what they said about the disciples? They knew that these men had been in his presence. When you've been in his presence, you're the carriage that carries the king. So it doesn't matter whether you're standing in front of an abortion clinic or whether you're at a workplace or wherever you are, the presence of God is in you and manifested upon you, and the spirit that raised Christ from the dead is within you, and nothing is impossible for you in that moment. But if you're not intentional, taking each thought captive to the lordship of Christ, if you're not responding to God in your circumstances rather than reacting to your circumstances every day, you're not going to be intentional about evangelism. And we need to be. I just got saved. I hadn't been saved that long. I had been promoted to a job. I was going to be a district service manager for American Medical International in Omaha, Nebraska. I had already brought a guy in from Oklahoma, moved him and his family out there, trained them in to take over the anesthesia department of our biomedical company, and I was moving, and our stuff was in storage. Paula was staying at her family temporarily. During that period, one of the places I was working was a hospital that was about to be opened. And so there was nobody in the hospital but some biomedical guys, some construction people, and all the department heads had been hired, and they were overseeing the setup of their departments. And we were in the shell of the hospital one night, and I was checking some equipment in the respiratory therapy department, and the respiratory therapy director came in there, and we started talking, and he was asking me what I did, and I just had a great time telling him how wonderful I was. You know, this is my biomedical experience, and this is my training, and we went on and on, and he talked about his education. I talked about, and we talked and talked, and we talked all night. We never talked about Jesus at all, or never even threw a little something out there to see if there was any hunger. And afterwards, the Holy Spirit said, why did you not, on all that you had to offer, why didn't you talk to this guy about me? And I said, you know what, Lord, that really was selfish. So tomorrow I'm going to do that. So I'm looking for him the next day. Except he wasn't there, because that night he died of a heart attack. Now, I'm not condemned, okay? I'm not, you know, God's not angry. Oh, you loser. It's not like that. It's just that I know God allowed that to happen, that he might educate me and say, son, be ready, instant, in season and out. You never know. And sometimes I'll just say something to somebody. Sometimes I'll just say, wow, yeah, that's cool. Somebody was talking to me about that in church. I just let the church word fall out there. And if they go, oh, really, a church? What church do you go to? That's usually God's way of saying they're biting on this. People have an interest in something spiritual. Or I'll just say, you know, I was praying or I was reading the Bible. And it's an inroad. So I try to be sensitive because, man, we get in a hurry and we want to do good things. We got to get to church, so we pass by the Samaritan laying in the ditch. We mean well, but we aid hell. And it shouldn't be like that. I was praying one morning and got a phone call. I think I shared this before. And it's this distant pinging. And some guy in Tasmania, Australia, picked up the phone and dialed random numbers and rang my house. Hope I didn't wake you up there, mate. That's my bad Australian accent. And I said, no, actually, I was up praying. And it got real quiet. Oh, you're a believer. Yeah, my parents are believers. I never was. He was a prodigal son who left home, was bored with sin, was coming to the end of himself, just picks up a phone after drinking all night and dials my phone number. And I prayed with him to rededicate his life to the Lord. That was the most awesome day. Then I called his mother. I found out what his mom's name was, an address, and a phone number, and I called her in Australia. And I said, you're going to think I'm crazy. And she did. Who is this? Well, I talked to your son, so-and-so. You did? Where is he? I said, he's in Tasmania. Oh. And I prayed with him over the phone. Who is this really? She said. But it was just, I like those kind of moments. I like when you see somebody in a line. Just take a minute to pray for somebody in a line. And then you see that person and two other people in CR. And look, God knows you have a schedule. We're always so afraid, God, oh, I'm going to start preaching this guy and I'm going to end up in a worldwide evangelistic crusade and I won't get to cut my grass. You know, we get these weird thoughts. But we just need to be intentional. Somebody needs to be asking us, what is it that's different about you? We talked about this with our men, it being redeeming your work. Your work is 60% of your life in some cases. It's at least a third. What do you do at work that makes you stand out? Are you part of the problem at work or are you part of the solution? Do you whine with the rest of the whiny babies over the problems or do you say, look, gentlemen, we got work to do and you know we're going to work hard. God's going to see what we do and he's going to take care of us if nobody else does. Praise him. All right, do we want to watch the evangelism linebacker video again? Is this getting too heavy? We need to blow it up. Do everything without complaining or arguing, Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Come on up, Josh. So that no one can criticize you, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. I intentionally don't allow myself to become mad at lost people. They are what they are. I'm angry at what they're doing. I'm angry at what's going on in my government, but I refuse to be led by a spirit of anger. I choose to be infused with the spirit of light and the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, let me respond to this in a godly way, not react to this in my flesh. The anger of God does not work, does not work the righteousness of God. Amen? So we've got to respond rightly. So that no one can criticize you. Hold firmly to the word of life, and then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. When I stand before the Lord, I get to see the one who gave his life for me. And hopefully I get the one to see the one whom I gave my life for. For those of you who lose your life will find it. And those who find it for Christ's sake will, or for their own sake, will lose it. I love Jesus, man. I mean, I just do. I don't always act like it. I'm not done yet. But I love God. And I love what he does through me more than I like anything else about me. When I see what God can do for me, just because I ask him to, it's just the most amazing thing. And you're missing a blessing in your life if you don't daily ask God to give you an encounter that day for the kingdom. You're missing a blessing. I have met some interesting people. We ended up with a homeless guy who lived with us for 8-9 months one time. I wouldn't recommend you just do that without a word from the Lord. I picked a guy up to give him a ride in the car. So, African-American gentleman, thought he was just hitchhiking from Reserve to Gramercy or something. Then I noticed he had torn up clothes and he had blood coming off the back of his head down his back. He'd been mugged in New Orleans and robbed. He was trying to hitchhike to Texas. And so I started sharing the Lord with him and talking to him, and God said, you need to take that guy home. I took him to the Salvation Army. Then when I got up, the Lord said, I didn't tell you to take him to Salvation Army. So I had to go back to Baton Rouge and find him. I went back to Salvation Army. They said he didn't have ID. We didn't let him in. So he slept on the street. So then I said, well, where is he? I can't find him, Lord. I tried. He said, God said, Greyhound bus station. I said, look, you can stop helping me anytime you want. So I drove to the Greyhound bus station. As I drove up, he walked up. So I took him back to La Place because I was going to be obedient, and I put him in a hotel. And then I went home and told Paula, Paula, I put this guy in a hotel, but I feel like God wants us to bring him in the house. We had small kids. You know what I'm saying? It was like a serious thing. And Melvin was a great guy. I learned a lot from Melvin. I would love to see Melvin again. It's one of my impossibilities list items that I'll run into Melvin again, spend some time with him. And I don't know what Melvin's doing today. I don't know what the fruit of that was. But I know my kids saw that. And it affected them. Control's an illusion. You can't be safe all the time. God never called us to be safe. He didn't call us to even be nice. He called us to be obedient. I'm tired of being caught up in my own problems. I'm tired of complaining instead of praying. I just want God to use me every day to touch somebody's life. Because I get more out of the deal. You can never outgive God. I get more out of the deal always. Live wisely, 1 Corinthians, Colossians says. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you all have the right response to everyone. Mr. Wonderful's on television is not evangelism. God used Billy Graham, a man of integrity and bulk evangelism like that in corporate evangelism. He still uses people and some people out there of integrity in that way. But his goal is ultimately to see them in a local church somewhere. If we can bypass Mr. Wonderful and just begin to reach out to our community, instead of sending $100 to get his anointed prayer cloth, donate $100 to the Hope Center so we can reach out in the community or be part of a door-to-door. And let's touch this community with Christ. We should not be able to say that Jesus came to Westmoreland County and when he left, nothing was different. Wherever Jesus goes, there should be change. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we've been called, all of us, to operate in the gift of evangelism. And so, Father, we're asking you this week, put people in our lives every day, even if it's just, maybe we just get to smile at them. Maybe they just see something about us. Give us opportunities to serve others selflessly, to give selflessly. Just ask God, please, Father, stir up the gift of evangelism in me, God, that I might reach souls for your kingdom. It's all about souls at the end of the day. So all you can take with you from this life is people. None of your stuff. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we love you guys. Thank you again.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. This is Pastor Doug. I hope this message helps you grow in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only that, I hope this podcast becomes a practical way by where your faith not only impacts your life, but the lives of those around you and your community and even your nation. We'd love to see you in one of our services, and here's Will to tell you about local service times and locations. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thanks, Pastor Doug. Living Hope Church is located at 352 Charles Hoke Road in Whitney, Pennsylvania, across from the post office. Our services begin Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and childcare is provided. For more information, check us out on the web at www.hopealive.net. You can send us your prayer requests and comments to podcast@hopealive.net. Until next time, God bless you from Living Hope Church.